Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to visit with the Minneapolis VA about stopping smoking, and we're going to learn about the Minnesota National Guard's child and youth programs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Every year, March is designated Women's History Month by presidential proclamation. In celebration of this, I'd like to remember the contributions of women veterans throughout history. Even before the Declaration of Independence was signed, women were serving as nurses and cooks in military camps in support of the Revolutionary War. Their invaluable contributions span the preservation of the Union and two world wars. Despite nearly two centuries of service, it wasn't until 1948 that women were allowed to become permanent members of the military. Having the honor of volunteering to serve was just the beginning. Women service members spent the next seven decades overcoming obstacles and breaking down barriers. During Korea and Vietnam, they deployed to forward combat zones and aboard ships. In 1976, they were admitted to four of the five service academies. By 1993, women pilots were flying combat missions. And finally, in 2016, the Department of Defense opened all combat jobs to women service members. To all of our female veterans and our currently serving female service members, thank you for your leadership, your service, and commitment to our nation. Please join me in honoring these extraordinary women, past and present, as we celebrate Women's History Month.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Dr. Stephen Fu from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is interested in smoking cessation and tobacco-related health disparities. His research is focused on identifying best practices for improving the delivery and utilization of tobacco dependence treatments among diverse and disadvantaged populations. And Dr. Fu, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Great to be back, Tom. Thank you very much.
Doctor, can you tell us, I'm looking at your education, it looks like you went to school for a long time.
Yeah, about 14, 15 years when it's all said and done.
can you share with us where you went?
Oh, yeah. So I did my college undergraduate work at the University of Pennsylvania, which was followed by medical school at Jefferson Medical College, also in Philadelphia. And I continued on there for my internal medicine residency training at Thomas Jefferson University. And then when I went back for fellowship and also got another master's degree at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine.
My goodness, that's a lot of education, Doctor. Can you tell us, how did you get to the VA?
So when I was a fellow, I was looking for a job, and the Minneapolis VA was recruiting, and the Minneapolis VA had a Health Services Research Center of Excellence called CCDOR. That now stands for the Center for Care Delivery and Outcomes Research, and the University of Minnesota had a Tobacco Use Research Center of Excellence as well. And so for a young junior faculty who was looking for a job, it was a great place to grow and build a career. And so I've been glad to be here, and I've been here now 20 years.
And it goes quick, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. So, Doctor, did you always want to get into research?
I actually didn't figure that out until my third year as a resident, internal medicine resident, that's what I wanted to do. And the reason why I went into research was I realized, you know, I could make a difference, and that one person can make a difference. And through your work, you can make a difference and have an impact on helping people get access and engage in the treatments they need, and you can improve their lives. And so that's why I went into research.
So after you were at the VA, did these opportunities open up? Did you volunteer for them? Did you create them? How did they come about?
So they were, I guess, opportunities that were made available to me through applying for grants and also by being part of a center of excellence in health services research that opened doors.
And one of the advantages you have at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is there's a lot of patients. There are a lot of veterans there.
Yep. We see over 100,000 veterans a year is my understanding. And we also have a very large research enterprise. You know, not that everything's said in or is about money, but the Minneapolis VA has a $28 million research enterprise. And now I direct the Center for Care Delivery and Outcomes Research, and our own annual research budget is about $8 to $9 million as well.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Fu from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Doctor, how did your research gravitate towards smoking cessation?
Oh, that relates to ever since I was a internal medicine resident, I realized that the best thing I could do to help my patients with their health was to help them quit smoking. And I really enjoyed counseling my patients to quit smoking. And then I realized I could also develop research projects to improve the treatments for helping people to quit smoking. Ever since 1996, when the first guideline about smoking cessation came out from the United States Public Health Service, it defined what are the treatments that are known to help or have been proven by science to help smokers quit smoking, which includes different types of medications, such as nicotine replacement therapy, as well as counseling or behavioral support to help them quit smoking. But most people don't use what we would call a evidence-based or a proven treatment to quit smoking. Most people actually try and quit without the benefit of treatment on their own. And unfortunately, when you try and quit, to make a quit attempt, quitting is hard, and you're less likely to be successful if you don't have help or if you're trying to do it without any treatment. But if you get treatment, you get help, you double your chances of quitting smoking. You're much more likely to quit.
For being successful.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Beck, when I was in the military and served in Vietnam, there were a lot of us that were smoking, and smoking too much, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I quit a long time ago, but a lot of my brothers that were there in Vietnam probably still smoke. Do the younger veterans today smoke as much as some of the older ones did?
Unfortunately, yes. While in general or overall, the rates of smoking among veterans has declined in parallel to the decline in the rates of smoking in the general population. But among younger veterans, it's as high as 35% sometimes. And then what's also depressing or what's also alarming is the rates of smoking among women veterans is equally high. In other words, they smoke at the same rates as male veterans. And this is in contrast to the general population where women smoke at lower rates. So rates among women veterans is alarmingly high.
So service members and veterans, is it safe to say they might smoke more than the rest of the general population?
Yes. That is very safe to say.
Now, I can understand that because I was over there. But I've heard that no matter how long you smoked, if you quit, you can still get improvement.
Yes. You quit smoking at any age, even older than 70, you still achieve benefits. For example, you can reduce your risk of a heart attack by 50% within 1 year of quitting smoking. So even if you're 70 or 75, you benefit.
So for all our veterans out there listening that might still be smoking, you know how to help them.
Yes, we do. We have a lot of treatments that are available throughout the VA as well as in the Minneapolis VA to help smokers quit smoking. For example, the VA sponsors or administers a national quit line, 1-855-QUIT-VET. Any veteran can call and get a free telephone coaching. They help you develop a personalized quit plan to quit smoking. If you like texting on your smartphone, you can go to smokefreevet.gov and sign up for a texting program to help people quit smoking. Or you can go to your local VA and talk to your doctor about medications and additional help to quit smoking.
So if you're already enrolled in the VA and get your health care there, talk to your primary care doctor. They can get you over to you or some other folks that can help you to quit smoking and maybe you'll have a better chance of quitting with the help than without it.
Correct.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little more about this and some studies that you've done and get the outlook on that. We're speaking with Dr. Stephen Fu from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Dr. Stephen Fu from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and we've been talking about smoking cessation and tobacco-related health disparities. And he's been at the VA now for 20 years and doing a lot of research to help our veterans figure out how they can quit smoking and improve their health. And doctor, once again, if our listeners are out there and they're, I think everybody's smoking really kind of wants to quit. You said there was a quit line they could call?
Yes, there's a national quit line for veterans. It's free, 1-855-QUIT-VET.
1-855-QUIT-VET. And for all of those veterans in Minnesota that are already eligible to get their care at the VA, then all they have to do is contact their primary care doctor and say, Doctor, I need help quitting smoking.
That's correct.
And they'll get him to you or somebody else?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I would guess that not only the Minneapolis VA, but the St. Cloud VA, and every hospital's got people there that can help them quit.
Correct, even the CBOX.
All right, the community-based outpatient clinics. We don't want to use too many of those acronyms. Our listeners don't know what they mean. But that's all right, doctor, the outpatient clinics. Call any of them. They'll help you quit smoking if you really want to quit smoking. And the one thing that I pulled out of that first segment, doctor, is you told me that if they get formal help to quit smoking, their chances of making it stick are better.
Correct. Double the chances.
And so you've got some tricks to help them do things to get past it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chemical. You get addicted to it. It's how I quit. It was hard to quit.
Yeah, quitting is one of the hardest things that anybody can do. It's really challenging.
Now, doctor, I want to talk to you about, you've done several research studies. Can you tell us about what they were and what you're trying to prove?
Yeah, So as I was saying before, there are a number of treatments which have been proven to help smokers quit smoking, but they're not used. And so we've been engaged in a number of research studies to determine the best practices to make the treatments that are successful more easily available or more easily accessible, and how to better how to connect smokers to the treatment that would help them quit smoking. So instead of waiting for someone to come to the clinic and ask for help to quit smoking, we've been doing some research studies to test and implement what we would describe as proactive outreach. We're working with our doctors. We reach out directly to veteran smokers or smokers and offer them help to quit smoking and then connect them to treatment.
Now, doctor, did you study that conjunction with other groups that were at the hospital? Like some groups might have been coming to get some behavior health issues done or some mental health issues, and some of those patients were smokers. So can you do two things at once while they're in there getting help or something else?
So what we would do is we would work with the providers. And so we've done three trials, one in VA primary care, one in VA mental health, and one with Minnesota Care. And the idea there is to work with their doctors, you know, either in VA or in the community, and reach out to their patients, let them know that, hey, there are some services that are available, and we can help connect you to them. And we would connect them to telephone counseling, such as that is available from a Quitline. And we'd also make it and send them easy to get medications, such as nicotine replacement therapy, that we would mail directly to the veteran or to the smoker, so they didn't actually have to leave their house to get help to quit smoking. It would just be sent directly to them.
So did some of those medications help heal the problem, or the actual, you're not getting the nicotine by cigarettes anymore, but you're shaky and you're crazy? And
yeah, so when trying to help someone quit smoking, one has to help address the nicotine addiction or the cravings from nicotine. So when you're trying to quit smoking, folks will get cravings, and so nicotine replacement therapy helps with that. And the other piece is having a behavioral plan or a plan to quit, and that's why working with a quit coach, to come up with those strategies or come up with those, quote, tricks is quite helpful.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Fu from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, in my strange mind, if a veteran comes to me and wants help quitting, I'm going to take away his lighter. But that's not going to work for very long. What type of things do you do? Do they want to talk about it? Does talking about it help? Do they just get support from your folks? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so the majority of veterans want to quit smoking, and nearly half try to quit smoking each year. And what veterans and smokers in general want is someone to talk to, someone who can help them, and someone who, what I would describe, is non-judgmental. It doesn't work to criticize someone for their smoking, but rather to say, hey, why are you interested in quitting smoking? Hey, here are some services that can be helpful. Are any of them interesting to you? And you give folks the option, the choice, where they're in control of figuring out what it is that's going to work for them, and then give them some options that they could try and that they could choose to try, not trying to force them, but work with them and give them options.
Dr. I can remember decades ago when I smoked, when somebody told me to quit smoking, I pulled one out and lit it up. Stubborn, terrible. But I also remember, I've quit for decades now, but I quit for a year once, and then I started smoking again. And I was so depressed that I had done that. but I kept smoking until I finally woke up and decided that's enough. Yeah. Is that common?
Yeah, that is common. There are many triggers to, quote, relapse and go back to smoking. And it can sometimes take multiple tries before someone is able to quit for good. And that's okay. With every quit attempt, you learn something new. And then you can take that those lessons learned and use them in your next quit attempt.
So, Doctor, any other tricks that you want to share with us today about how to quit?
Well, what I will say, just getting back to the research a little bit, just to explain one more item, is that when we were testing these different strategies, what we showed is that if we reach out directly to veterans or smokers and offer them help to quit smoking, many will accept and many will engage, and we were able to increase the number of smokers using the treatments that helped them quit smoking, and that in turn increased quit rates at the population level. So what I would say is get help. There's a lot of help that's available, and we're here to help you.
So once again, for all those veterans out there that might still be smoking, please stop. But if you want help with that, they can call the quit line, which was what again?
1-855-QUIT-VET.
And if you're eligible for care at the VA, just call your primary care doctor and say, "Doctor, I really want to quit the smoking. Can you get me some help? Get me some support. Help me do this."
Correct. And if you have access to My Healthy Vet, you don't even have to call. Send us a secure message.
Oh, and I love that. That's the same place you go and order your prescriptions or send a message to the doctor so you can raise a flag and say, "Help, help, help me quit smoking," and the nurses will turn you over to someone that can do that.
Correct.
Doctor, after 20 years, are you having any fun? Is this good to help veterans?
Oh, yes. I love my job. I'm what's called a lifer in the VA.
Lifer. You still look young and vibrant, Doctor. There's lots of veterans out there that need your help, and I hope you can help them from today's war to Vietnam to Korea, all the men and women out there that might still be stuck on smoking. I'm happy that you came here today, and once again, let's tell them where to reach out for help.
That phone number is 1-855-QUIT-VET.
Or just call the Minneapolis VA if you're there, or contact them online and say, "Get me some help." Doctor, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for those veterans that might be listening that are having a smoke while they're listening to us today?
I guess my final thought would be, when you're ready, give us a call. It doesn't have to be today, whether it be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or a year from now, or even longer. Just when you're ready, give us a call.
And it's never too late. You can always get better if you can stop smoking.
It's never too late to quit. You can always get better.
Doctor, thanks for joining us today, and keep up the good work.
Great. Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
That was Dr. Stephen Fu from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Minnesota National Guard's child and youth programs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to Melissa Johnson about the Child and Youth Program Coordinator position that she's in for the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Duty, honor, and pride. These words reflect the spirit of generations of American women who have sought to defend the rights of freedom of others, said Secretary of Veterans Affairs Eric Shinseki. March is Women's History Month. We take time to observe, celebrate, to pay tribute to the accomplishments women have made throughout history. Women in the military have made huge strides in the past years, as they are now allowed to serve as equals with their male comrades in combat roles and have proven themselves by completing the grueling Ranger course. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. As we observe Women's History Month, it's important that we also take time to pay tribute and recognize the service and sacrifice of our women veterans in Minnesota. This month, make it your mission to thank a woman veteran for her service.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Mel Johnson has worked with youth for the last 16 years. She was a camp counselor, youth director, and director of children and family ministry. Then she transitioned over to the Family Assistance Center as a specialist, and then came to be the child, youth, and program coordinator for the Minnesota Army National Guard in February 2017. And Mel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. You've been working on youth programs for a long time.
For a long time. I have a great passion for working with our future leaders.
How did you get to this position? How did this all evolve and come to be?
You know, I did a lot of youth ministry, and when that position kind of shifted, I had a friend in the military that introduced me to the Open Family Assistance Center specialist. On one of my first days in that position, I met Laura Grunewig, my coworker, and went home that evening and said to my mom, I found the job I want to do someday. I really just have a passion for working with youth and having the opportunity to support our military families by supporting their youth seemed like such an ultimate dream and goal and just a really important job to me. So it was something I wanted to undertake.
And Mel, that whole time frame kind of fits with an extended period of time that the Minnesota National Guard's had deployments all over the world going back to 2001. And every time they go out, every time a mother or a father go off on a deployment and they have children at home, those children have to deal with those parents being gone. That's a big part of what you take care of, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I have a good friend from high school that is actively serving in the National Guard. When he was deployed, I helped take care of his small children, one of them being a newborn. His wife is a very good friend of mine. And so I kind of put the role of co-parent, which is why coming into this position, I knew how important it was to have a support system like that in place. And not everyone has that. So if we can fill some of those gaps through our program, it's our pleasure to do so.
Tell us a little bit about the Child and Youth Program. What's the mission? What is your scope? What are you trying to do?
So the mission of the Army National Guard Child and Youth Program is to positively impact soldier and family readiness, resilience, and retention. So how we do this is we provide secure, timely, flexible, and high-quality youth development programs, opportunities, and resources. A lot of our programs build on resiliency aspects, as we see that as an important key for these youth to undertake deployments, extended trainings, we have a 6-week annual training coming up where a lot of youth are going to have a parent gone. So we want to build their toolbox up with resilient components to help them deal with those situations.
Now, Mel, it's my understanding that we have military families all over the state.
That's correct.
And a lot of these youth of military family go to school in public schools, and probably most of the population in those schools are not from military families. And so is there a little disconnect between what's happening with the military youth and what's happening with the rest?
That is certainly correct. We actually, a perfect example, we had two teens on our Minnesota military teen panel, and they went to the same school but didn't even recognize that they were both military connected until they joined the teen panel. A lot of what we do also is trying to educate our educators to help them recognize that these students are in their schools and that it's important to connect them through creating military kids clubs. We offer free curriculum for educators to help support their military students. So we just really want everyone out there to know that there are these students and they need extra support, and we want to provide the resources for them to support them.
Now, if a teacher has a military youth in a class and sees that there's an issue, mm-hmm. do you give them resources? Do you give them places to call?
Yep. We have a free curriculum that we offer them. We also can help direct them to the military family life counselors, and we have abundant resources from YMCA programs, book resources, a 0-3 website with some parenting resources. So we really have resources for every aspect of a child's life to support them.
And our listeners can find more information on Facebook?
Yes, they can. They can go to the MN National Guard Youth Programs Facebook page.
All kinds of information there.
Yep, we put out all sorts of information.
Now, Mel, I understand that we're coming up on the month of the military child.
Yes, April is one of our biggest months. We ask people to purple up for the month of the military child. We're excited to continue our partnership with the Mall of America. So on Friday, April 17th, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., we're going to have a huge event out at the Mall of America for our military families and to really say thank you for the sacrifices that our military youth make. And so we're going to have face painting, a DJ, we're going to have different vendor booths out there that are geared towards youth. We're also going to have some pre-registration. We're also going to have some events that we need to pre-register for. But again, all that information will be on our Facebook page. But we're giving away 1,500 Nickelodeon wristbands. We're giving away 300 Build-A-Bear opportunities. And thanks to our great partners, we're able to do that. So
April 17th at the Mall of America, put on your purple clothes or your favorite Viking gear.
That's right.
And go on out there and help our military kids celebrate.
Yes.
Month of the Military Child.
Month of the Military Child. We also do have Month of the Military Child t-shirts that will be on sale through March 15th. And that, again, is on our Facebook page, MN National Guard Youth Programs.
Now, Mel, we just got about 2 minutes left and we have to go to a break, but you brought a special guest with you today.
I sure did. I brought 17-year-old Alex Johnson. She is one of our 11 Minnesota Military Teen Panel members, and I'm excited to have her share with you all the opportunities and all the things she's done on our Minnesota Military Teen Panel.
Alex, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back from break, we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to be on the Military Teen Panel. Are you having fun doing that?
Yes, I am. It's a great way to connect with other military teens.
And are you expecting a big day, a Month of the Military Child, on April 17th out at the mall?
Yes, I'm very excited to volunteer at that event. It's definitely a highlight of being on the panel.
Did you go to that event last year?
Yes, I did.
Were there a lot of young people out there?
Yes, there are a lot of people that stop by.
One more question before we go to break. How important is it for you to talk to other military children and about issues that are common for you? Is it good to have those conversations?
Yeah, I feel like it really like helps me connect and know that there's other people out there that have military parents
and are going through the same things that you're going through.
Yeah.
And you can identify with them and have some chats and feel a little bit better about it. Well, we have to take a short break. Mel and Alex, this is Minnesota Military Radio. We're going to be right back, and we're going to learn all about the teen panel for Minnesota Military youth. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we've been talking about the Month of the Military Child, and our guests in the studio are Mel Johnson, who is the Child and Youth Program Coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard, and young Miss Alice Johnson, who is a Minnesota Military Teen Panel member. And Mel, we learned a lot about the youth programs. Month of the Military Child is April. April 17th at the Mall of America, there's going to be a big purple up day. Everybody put on your purple and come on out.
That's right. Come say thank you to our military kids for the sacrifices they make.
And, of course, part of what you work with is a thing called a teen panel. Do you want to give us a little prep on what that is, or is Alex going to tell us what that's all about?
You know, we do some elevator speech prep for the teen panel, so I think Alex has a good handle on telling us all about it.
So here we are, Alex Johnson, who's a Minnesota Military Teen Panel member and has been for a couple of years. Alex, can you tell us what that's about?
I can. So basically, the Military Teen Panel is a group of 11 teens who get together quarterly and plan the Teen Summit, which is an event for other military teens to come and relate to each other, basically. And we do community service, and we also do monthly conference calls to prepare for the Teen Summit. It's always a lot of fun. I find that I've gotten really close to all of the teen panel members, and I feel like kind of a family-type bond. And I'm always really excited to go to teen panel meetings.
So, Mel, is the teen panel kind of like a council or a board of directors that puts together events and opportunities for military youth to come together?
Yes, ultimately that's what they do, but we like to sneak in some education on our end, too. So we bring in some different speakers and teach them some life schools. Maybe we teach them some life skills. We maybe bring them to some colleges, universities to find out about their programs, just kind of give them a glimpse into what life's out has to offer for them out there.
So, Alex, you said you've been on the teen panel for a couple of years. How did you come by being on the panel?
My mom actually came to me and she's like, I think you should go to the Teen Summit. And I was like, what's that? And then one day she told me, you're going to the Teen Summit. And I was like, okay. And then I went there and I enjoyed it. I met some new people. And then they said that they were looking for more people to join the panel, and I was like, okay, I'll do it. And yeah, that's
so
basically
your
it.
Mom serves in the military. Is that how she found out about this?
Yeah. She found out, I think, through Mel and Laura.
Mm-hmm. And she's in the Minnesota National Guard?
Yes, she is.
Okay, and your foster, is it your foster father? Is he also in the?
My stepdad is also in the National Guard.
National Guard. So have you experienced a deployment yet?
I have. I was too little to remember it, but both my stepdad and my mom are going on deployments. My stepdad is actually deploying this July, and my mom is potentially deploying January 2021.
And how do you feel about that? You're going to have both of them gone for a while.
Yeah. It hasn't really hit me yet. It kind of just seems like something that's not going to happen, but I feel like it'll be hard, but it's nothing that I can't handle. I have lots of good connections, family, friends, military connections that I know will support me.
So you've met a lot of other military youth, and a lot of those folks, your friends, have experienced the deployment. So if you have some issues while those deployments are happening, do you feel comfortable calling them and talking through the issues with other peers that have gone through this?
Oh, absolutely. I have so many different military connection friends that have gone through many deployments. There's a girl on the teen panel, Haley Deans. Her father was deployed this year, and I feel like I could always go to her.
You were probably helping her while he was gone.
Yeah.
And so she'll be there for you when you need the help.
Mm-hmm.
Mel, this is great stuff. You can bring these military youth together and they can help each other get through difficult times. Having one parent is bad enough, but Alex's going to have two gone for a while. Did you say, is it your grandparents going to come?
Yeah, that's the plan, I believe. And I have some neighbors and stuff that would be willing to help me through that.
Well, hanging out with grandma and grandpa for a little while probably isn't too bad either.
No, I think that will be a good time.
And so, Alex, what about April 17th at Mall of America is going to be that event. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So the teen panel will have a booth set up at the Mall of America on April 17th, and we will be distributing goodie bags for children as they walk through our little section. And then there's also face paint and a DJ, and we're giving out Nickelodeon bracelets. I think it's going to be a really fun time.
So this is an opportunity for military youth from all over Minnesota, if they can get down to the Mall of America, meet each other, see the teen panel, get to know each other, and give each other some support when you need it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun day.
It definitely will be.
Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Mel, we got about a minute left. You want to give us the details on the Month of the Military Child and Purple Up?
Sure will. So Month of the Military Child Purple Up event is on April 17th from noon to 6 at the Mall of America. We have two different events that need to be pre-registered for. That is the Build-A-Bear opportunity and the Nickelodeon wristbands. To register for those, you can look at our Facebook page on March 18th, and the details will be there. Again, our Facebook page is MN National Guard Youth Programs. If you have teens out there that are interested in joining the teen panel, I suggest you go to the Facebook page MN Military Teen Panel. They can look at some of our past event pictures and posts and get a taste for what it might be like for them to join the panel.
And if they have any other questions, go to the Facebook page. They can probably figure out how to get in touch with you there.
Every flyer we post on there has mine or Laura's contact information, so don't hesitate to reach out by phone or email.
Very good. Mel, thanks for joining us, and I hope this year's Month of the Military Child is a great one and that we see purple everywhere on April 17th.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you guys having us on.
Thanks for joining us. That was Mel Johnson, Child and Youth Program Coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard, and Miss Alex Johnson, the Minnesota Military Teen Panel on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom, for having me again.
Sergeant Major, one of the things we've talked about on and off for years is the fact that every year you have some airmen and soldiers that retire and some that leave the force. And so every year you've got to keep filling in at the bottom. You need new soldiers, new airmen, new warrant officers. You need some new officers. And you're always out recruiting. So the recruiting and retention battalion is pretty busy.
They are. Mentioning that, our state, I think, goes through, on average, about 10 to 12% of our formation end up retiring or moving on every year. So that's a pretty hefty number that we have to continue to replace. And our recruiting and retention battalion does a great job. As a matter of fact, the adjutant general, myself, were just out to lunch with an individual, Sergeant Getty, that was able to recruit 30 new enlistments this past year. And the other recruiter that we had that also made that accomplishment was Staff Sergeant Du Bois. And both of them will be recognized by the Adjutant General, and they receive a nice plaque. And then now the effort is there's another program that they're shooting for, which is called the Chiefs 54, to make it to the best recruiter, the number one recruiter in the state. So that's kind of the next the goal that they've both set for themselves.
Sergeant Major, I understand the Minnesota Army National Guard has been ahead of the schedule on recruiting, done a better job than most of them around the country.
That is correct. We are currently number 3 out of the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the 3 territories right now as far as where we're supposed to be at for the year. And with that, we have 3 of the top recruiters in the nation in Minnesota. So it's a kind of a testament to what our soldiers are able to do, but then also some of the benefits and incentives that we're able to offer, not just on the federal level, but also at the state level, that the Minnesota legislature has seen to offer up for our soldiers and airmen.
So, Sergeant Major, I understand education assistance is one of the prime benefits that our young people look at when they think about enlisting in the Army or Air National Guard.
That is true, and with the Guard right now, we're actually able to essentially pay for 4 years of school for any of the state institutions, the state colleges or universities. And kind of an interesting fact. So again, out of the 54 of the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the 3 territories, Minnesota utilizes 10% of what is called federal tuition assistance. So out of a pot of 100% for the 54 to utilize, Minnesota accounts for 10% of that, which again puts Minnesota at number 1 in the nation for utilization for that type of assistance, which is great. That means we have I think it's approximately 1,400 soldiers and airmen that are using that to continue their education.
Very good, sir. Sergeant Major, we're at the end of February here. March is coming up. The weather's getting a little bit warmer. I'm sure you're thinking about PT, physical training, exercise, getting outside, and getting ready for that new Army test.
Absolutely. I would like to think that all of our soldiers and airmen have been pretty diligent and working out throughout the year, but I do know that in the winter it gets kind of tough here in Minnesota. So the one thing I would say is, if you're just getting back into it, take it easy. You don't need to go out and try to, win the Boston Marathon at the first time you go out running. And for our Army soldiers, if you're having any issues or you're looking for assistance in creating a fitness plan, we have master fitness trainers at our units that can help those soldiers create a plan and, work on their nutrition and also their fitness to get them ready for the upcoming year.
And Sergeant Major, that kind of leads us into the Best Warrior competition, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So it's a yearly event that we hold here in Minnesota, and it just is a springboard. So it essentially starts at the company level, and it builds its way all the way up to the state level, where we'll have approximately 14 competitors for the enlisted and NCOs competing for essentially the best warrior for the state. And with that, this year we actually have one of our state partner, which is Croatia, sending over an NCO to compete as well. So it'll be great to have that kind of international flavor to the event. And the two individuals that from the state, not the Croatian, but from the state that end up winning it, the enlisted and the NCO, will continue on to the regional competition. And hopefully, if they do well there, then it's one more competition that they'll end up competing in, which is at the national level, held out on the East Coast near D.C. every year.
Hope that goes well. And Sergeant Major in this new position is Command Senior Enlisted Leader. You work with both the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard, and I understand you were at a change of command ceremony. The 133rd Airlift Wing got a new Command Chief Master Sergeant.
That's correct. So that's one of the perks, I guess, of this position is that you get to go out and see a lot of the great things that are going on within the state, both on the Army and the Air side. And just recently they did a change of responsibility at the 133rd from going from Chief Master Sergeant Berg to Chief Master Sergeant Legvold. And Chief Master Sergeant Berg had done a great job over the past couple of years at the 133rd, and I look for continued success out of Chief Master Sergeant Legvold. But they had a great ceremony and send off for him, and I would guess it was probably about 800 airmen that were there for it. So it was a very nice send off.
Very good, Sergeant Major. We just got less than a minute left, but I understand you got to go to a dining out with one of your old units.
That's correct. So that's again, one of the privileges, I guess, of this position is that you get a lot of invites to go to different things. And so this last weekend, we were up at my wife and I were up at Manoman, Minnesota, at the Shooting Star Casino for the 2-1-3-6 Bearcat dining out, and another great. Event. I think there were over 600 soldiers and family members that attended, and they had a nice ceremony. We had Colonel Benson was the guest speaker, and it seemed like everyone had a great time. So again, it's that opportunity to take a minute and thank the spouses and significant others for allowing their service member to be a part of the Minnesota National Guard.
Well, Sergeant Major, we're about out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet. I appreciate it, Tom.
That's Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, the Command Senior Enlisted Leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran and like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Stephen Fu, Melissa Johnson, Alex Johnson, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about disaster preparedness with Minnesota's Homeland Security and Emergency Mansion, St. Paul's Corps of Engineers, and the Minnesota National Guard. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.